This message comes from NPR sponsor Chevron, taking action to keep methane in the pipe. They've trialed advanced detection technologies and are committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. More at chevron.com/methane.
Hi, this is Jamie Lynn in Sugar House, Utah. I just got done dropping off my first and third graders for their last day of school this year.
Woohoo!
This podcast was recorded at
1:06 p.m. on Thursday, June 15th, 2023.
Things may have changed by the time you hear it, but one thing's for sure. It's about to get a lot less quiet around here. Okay, here's the show, and have a great summer.
School's out for summer. Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Deepa Shivaram. I cover the Justice Department.
I'm Mara Liasson, National Political Correspondent.
And Chief Economics Correspondent Scott Horsley is here. Hey, Scott.
Hey, great to be with y'all.
Okay, so this month, there's been a string of good economic news. For one, seemingly against the odds, hundreds of thousands more people got jobs in May. And it seems like that's happening across job types, right, Scott?
Yeah, month after month, we keep thinking we're going to see a slowdown in job creation in this country. And the job market has just remained really strong. Employers added 339,000 jobs in May. Even sectors where you'd expect to see a slowdown, like construction, given what's happened with interest rates, we added 25,000 construction jobs last month. Bars and restaurants are still hiring. Lots of jobs in business services, healthcare. Manufacturing was one of the few sectors that saw any job losses in May, and we did see some job losses in media. But overall, the labor market is still clicking on all cylinders.
And wages are up, too, as well.
Yeah, wages are still going up, although not as fast as they were. And that's actually okay. If wages rise really fast, it can put more upward pressure on prices, and then the inflation just eats away at all the wage gains. So what we'd like to see is more modest wage gains that outpace inflation. And we did see that last month. Average wages in May were up 4.3% from a year ago. That's actually a little bit more than prices rose over that 12-month period. So workers saw a real wage gain in the 12 months ending in May.
And Scott, that's really what the administration has been waiting for, right? For inflation to not eat up all those wage gains.
Yes, and that's what workers have been waiting for, too. You know, it's
yeah, right.
Better to have a 3% wage gain and 2% inflation than a 5% wage gain and
7% inflation. Yeah.
And Scott, Mara mentioned this just a bit earlier, but inflation is also continuing to fall. What's going on with that?
It is good news, although maybe not quite as good as the headline number would suggest. The overall inflation rate in May came down to 4%, the annual inflation rate, and that's encouraging. However, a lot of that drop was driven by a fall in gasoline prices, and we know gasoline prices go down and up with some regularity. So that improvement could quickly reverse, you know, with geopolitical events or just about anything. Economists often will strip out the prices for food and gasoline and look at what they call core inflation, which tends to be a little bit more stable and gives you more of a picture of the underlying trend. And that was 5.3% in May. It is an improvement. It was down from 5.5% the month before, but still, you know, elevated for sure. And that 5.3% core inflation rate is still going up faster than wages.
Mara, I want to turn to you here because as we talk about all of this, typically, a strong economy, the assumption is that that's good news for the incumbent president. Is that the case here? Has that always been the case?
Well, it used to be the case. But what we've seen recently is a decoupling of a president's approval ratings from the strength of the economy. Donald Trump, pre-COVID, had a pretty good economy and really terrible approval ratings. Joe Biden has been mired in the low 40s. Even though, as we've just discussed, there are all of these good things happening in the economy. Now, you know, if you're a Republican, you think the economy's terrible. And if you're a Democrat, you think it's pretty good, depending on who's in the White House.
Yeah, that's something we definitely want to get to. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a second with more of this.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Squarespace. Measure your end-to-end online performance with powerful website and seller analytics. Get insights on top traffic sources, understand how your reach is growing, and more. Use code NPR to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to The Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
And we're back. And Scott, I want to talk about something that Mara had just mentioned before the break. Sometimes it feels like the way people perceive the economy doesn't really match up with the way the economy is actually functioning at. A lot of people, for example, think that we are in really turbulent economic times, but we might have a really strong economy right now. I'm curious what your thoughts are and why people might have this kind of mismatched perception of the economy with where things actually stand.
Well, one thing we know is that there's just a lot of polarization in the way people view the economy, just as there is in the way people view just about everything else. Democrats see the economy as in better shape than Republicans do. And so when there's a Democrat in the White House, Republicans think the economy's in the toilet. And when there's a Republican in the White House, Democrats think the economy's in the toilet, almost regardless of what's actually happening with the objective data. But it's also true that we've been in a kind of weird economy. I mean, we obviously went through a wrenching experience of the pandemic. We've had to deal with shortages of everything from toilet paper to infant formula. We have experienced the highest inflation in decades, even though it started to come down now, and that's a good thing. But so people do have reasons to be concerned about the economy, although it's certainly not the case that we're in a recession, as a lot of people think. We're objectively the job market. Is very strong. Wages are still going up. The economy is still growing, although not as fast as it had been. One thing that's going to be interesting to watch is that as inflation has come down from that north of 9% figure it was last summer to where it is now, in the 4% range, how much will people's concerns about inflation abate? And I mentioned that a lot of the drop in inflation has been in the categories of food and fuel, gasoline and groceries, which don't necessarily tell us a whole lot about the underlying economy, but those are the prices that people pay the most attention to. So even if people are paying more for other things, if they're saving on gas and groceries, will that relieve some of the economic stress? And I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Scott, let me ask you about an alternative theory that maybe people's perceptions of the economy are correct. They're just paying attention to something different. Because even before this current round of inflation, we had inflation in housing, the cost of higher education, and healthcare, the three things that make you a middle-class person. You know, those are the big-ticket items. And that inflation predated this. And maybe people are thinking, yes, I know that the price of eggs went down, but it's still harder for me to be in the middle class, to find a house that I can afford. There's a housing crisis in this country, to pay for my kids' college education, and to pay for healthcare.
I certainly think there could be something to that. And even if you own a house, say, and you have a fixed rate mortgage and you're not too worried about what's happening with interest rates or even home prices, it may affect your psyche a little bit. Certainly the cost of higher education for anyone who's got kids in college or got kids who they hope are going to be in college or the kids who are in college themselves, the cost of higher education has just vastly outstripped background inflation for a long time.
For a long time.
for decades. And that's one reason that the student debt issue is so salient for people. So I think those are valid points, at least in terms of people's political sense, even if it doesn't necessarily tell us how the economy's doing in objective terms.
Scott, you mentioned that message of kind of gas and groceries. I remember covering Nevada during the midterm elections, and that was something that Republican strategists in that state were really pushing home as their message, was that people are choosing between gas and groceries, therefore we should probably vote Democrats out of office. And so I kind of want to get into the political side of this, because right now the messaging from both parties is pretty starkly not related to the economy. Republicans are talking about investigating Joe Biden, pardoning Trump. You've got Biden's side talking about, you know, what he's done in the past couple of years, the strength of the economy, unions, American manufacturing. But none of those things are really pocketbook issues. And so both of you, Mara and Scott, is this a political kind of lens that you see going forward in the next several months as we head into the primaries? Or is this kind of a right now strategy?
Well, I think both parties will obviously try to capitalize on the messages that they think will be, you know, most effective for their candidates. So I think Democrats will talk at least about the economic numbers that are positive. You'll hear Democrats talking about the millions of jobs that have been added to the economy on President Biden's watch. On the flip side, you will hear Republicans talking about inflation, and they certainly won't talk about the drop in inflation, but they'll talk about the sort of vestigial pain that people feel from higher prices.
But there's no doubt that the Republican primary is focused on the culture wars, not on kitchen table issues. And Joe Biden is out there trying to push what he called in the State of the Union his blue-collar blueprint, you know, a message that's directly aimed at non-college voters, preferably white non-college voters, the voters that Democratic Party has been losing in droves over the years. And he's pushing all the things that he's done to create jobs for people without college degrees, whether it's the CHIPS Act or the infrastructure bill or, you know, anything else that has been a result of his policies, because he wants those voters to give him a second look.
And are Republicans focused on non-pocketbook issues, Mara, because that's where they think their voters are, or because if they talk about pocketbook issues, it's not a winning message for them? I mean, the tax policies they advocate are not tax policies that most Americans agree with.
Well, I think, first of all, they definitely think the culture war issues are the things that their voters care about. In terms of the economic message of the Republican Party, they don't know what their message is. They're at war with each other. It's a party in transition. There are candidates like Mike Pence, who's kind of an old-fashioned Reagan Republican who still believes in limited government, low taxes. But there's a big change happening in the Republican Party, and it's unclear where they're going to land. So for now, the focus is on the culture war. But I agree, some of the messaging about lower taxes for the rich or corporations isn't popular, that's for sure. But remember, Donald Trump made a pretty big break with Reaganomics. And he wasn't for free trade. He didn't care about the deficit. I don't think it's that they know what their economic message is and it's unpopular. I think they're in a state of flux about where they stand on a lot of economic issues.
That's it for today. Scott Horsley, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
I'm Deepa Shivaram. I cover the Justice Department.
And I'm Mara Liasson, national political correspondent.
And thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. It's easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin. Therapy can provide the tools and self-awareness to help you learn how to recharge, define your boundaries, and build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp Online Therapy. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. Support for NPR and the following message come from Edward Jones. What is rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. Edward Jones Financial Advisors are people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.